Shannon Minter is the legal director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and he's here to talk about his work with Born Perfect to End Conversion Therapy and give us his spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Shannon.
Hey, wonderful to be here.
First of all, what is your spin on the historic U.S. Supreme Court ruling?
Oh my gosh, it is huge. Like everyone else, I have been completely blown away by how perfect this decision is. Like, I'll be honest with you, I was bracing either for a loss or for maybe a partial win or a kind of ambiguous decision, but this is just a blowout for LGBTQ people. It's incredibly powerful, it's incredibly strong, and most remarkably, perhaps of all, it was authored by one of the most conservative justices on the court, Justice Gorsuch, and joined by another very conservative justice, the Chief Justice Roberts. So not only is it like just about as near perfect a decision in terms of what it's saying as we could hope for, but then to have it be like a 6-3 opinion, meaning that six justices on the court endorsed it and joined it, that just gives us even more power. It means that the decision is going to be taken even more seriously by the lower court. So I'm pretty darn happy.
Tell us about Born Perfect.
Yeah, Born Perfect is, I think, probably the favorite thing that I work on at NCLR. It is a campaign where we bring together people who are survivors of conversion therapy with legal experts, our legal team, to advocate for an end to conversion therapy. It has now grown into, I think we'd have to say, probably the most successful, most quickly moving cause or campaign in the entire movement within the space of a very few years. We started this campaign in 2014. We did that after we were able to pass the first statewide law in the country that was in California protecting young people from conversion therapy. And then we passed another one the next year. That was 2012. And then we passed another one the next year in New Jersey. And so we realized, hey, you know, we really need a national campaign to promote this legislation and also just to do public education around this issue. So we did. And in the space of 8 years, we're now up to 20 states that have passed laws protecting young people from conversion therapy, which is pretty remarkable, and definitely, like, we haven't seen anything like that kind of quick legislative success around any other issue in our community for a long time, so it's really taken off.
How did you get involved?
I've been at NCLR for 27 years now, and I first actually started working there when I was a law student, and my very first case, and I started working on it when I was a law student, involved a lesbian teenager whose parents sent her from California to a residential treatment center in Utah where they were subjecting her to really terrible conversion therapy, just constantly telling her that she was mentally ill, that she wasn't really a lesbian, that she was just mixed up, and trying to make her be more gender nonconforming, you know, making her wear makeup and style and curl her hair. It was just horrifying. She ran away from that facility, and we were able to help her not get sent back to it. And that really opened my eyes to this issue. I mean, it's something I had worried about when I was a queer teenager growing up in Texas, and I lived honestly in fear every single day that my parents were going to do that to me. And there was something so horrifying to me about realizing that that specter, that threat was still hanging over the heads of young people. And I was like, well, I want to do something about this. So I got a fellowship to go back to NCLR to start a legal resource program for kids who'd been put through conversion therapy and to try to help them not get put through conversion therapy, keep them out of it. And so the program started 27 years ago, and it's grown into finally the really big, visible, successful nationwide movement that it is today. But it took a long time, I'll tell you. It took a long time to get it up and going because initially people didn't understand the issue and there was a lot of denial, even in our own community, about how common it is. So it's been really wonderful to see the birth of one of the most important sort of grassroots now legal and litigation movements that I've seen in my entire career.
What do you hope to accomplish with Born Perfect?
You know, our goal is to put an end to conversion therapy once and for all. All along the way, we're trying to end conversion therapy for sure, and we're making really great progress on that. But even in a way, even more fundamental or more important, we want to increase especially parental acceptance and support for LGBT young people. Like, that's really the ultimate goal. Conversion therapy is only the very worst and kind of most extreme and dramatic form of family rejection for young people in our community. And so it's a good way to kind of focus attention on that issue. But our real goal is to make sure that every single child in this country knows they're born perfect and has their family's full acceptance and love and support.
In these challenging times, how are you dealing with the new normal?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. You know, I'm hanging in there pretty well. One thing I've really appreciated about this time is it makes you think about all the people in your life that you really care about and want to make sure that you stay in touch with. And I've been better about, like, calling my mom more often, calling my sister, calling my close friends. So it's been a really important reminder about what really matters on that front. And then also, my wife and I have a house full of animals, and it's been really fun, honestly, to get to just stay home and spend time with them. That's been an unexpected gift from all of this.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids in these times?
I know, I'm so worried about young people who may be stuck at home with unsupportive families and maybe feeling really isolated and cut off from their friends and support networks and from supportive family members. So I guess my advice to them would be, please remember that you are valued and loved, and to reach out, to try to resist the impulse to maybe just withdraw and isolate yourself. Just reach out, use all the tools at your disposal, you know, social media, phone, and stay in touch with people if you can. Like, and just remember, there's a whole world of people out here who really care about you and value you and who know that you're there and who know there's a lot of young people out there really suffering right now, and we're with you. You know, you are not alone.
How can people get information about Born Perfect?
Easy. Just go to bornperfect.org, and you can also check us out on Facebook and Instagram at bornperfect, all one word.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, aside from legislation, we have several really exciting media projects to watch out for in the near future. Our most recent project is a film called Pray Away. It's a documentary that does something I've never seen any other documentary on this topic do, which is it actually is looking at the lives of many former ex-gay leaders who have subsequently come out as LGBTQ, and yet at the same time it shows how conversion therapy is still growing, a growing phenomenon around the country, and it just gives an insider perspective on that. I don't know how they got some of this footage they got. It's really dramatic. And the film was due to be featured at the Tribeca Film Festival, but we're waiting on a new release date since the pandemic began. Keep an eye out for that. That's going to be really something.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Yes, you know, I always love when people are interested in all of the work that NCLR is doing, and we are really doing a lot. Notwithstanding the pandemic, you would be surprised. Our litigation has not slowed down even one little bit. If anything, it's gotten to be even more intense. So if anyone's interested in learning more about the work that we're doing, particularly in the courts, definitely check out the NCLR website at nclrrights.org. Because we've got a lot going on. We're suing the Trump administration over the transgender military ban. We have a really important case that's on behalf of a lesbian couple that were turned away from a retirement community in Missouri, denied housing simply because they're a lesbian couple, and especially after the Supreme Court's decision that discrimination against LGBTQ people is sex discrimination, we're feeling really hopeful about that case. And if we win, which I hope we will, that's going to be a really precedent-setting case that means a lot to all of the older people, especially in our community. And then we've got just all kinds of other issues going on with our sports project and immigration and asylum project. So definitely check us out.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through difficult times?
You know I do. This is an old chestnut, but it got repurposed recently in the film Frozen 2, which I love. I love Frozen 1 and Frozen 2. It's basically, when you can't see the future, just do the next right thing. You know, especially now, like, who knows what's on the horizon? Like, everything is so uncertain and so many unlikely things, both good and bad, keep happening that it seems like all of our careful strategic plans have to be rethought at a moment's notice. And so I really just take a lot of comfort from the philosophy of, yes, of course, we have to think ahead and try to plan and have strategies. But also, you really can't go wrong if you're just like, you know, the one thing I'm absolutely sure of is I am going to do the next right thing that's in front of me.